So you pointed out, you said, oh, look, dismal after that. Never mind. See, the advantage of this technology is that for me to keep track of all these foils causes me great pain, whereas it's much easier for me to stick it on electronically and deliver it in this fashion. But anyway, never mind. All right. So, all right, so let's discuss the performance of Java. So, as we pointed out in that rather washed out screen dump from the Limpack Java benchmark, which there is a URL, this is in, I believe, in your handout, that we're off a factor of 50. So there are two things we can do to get back the factor of 50. The first thing we must notice is how Java is implemented. So the way Java is implemented today is you run something called the Java compiler. That produces essentially a universal machine code. There's a thing called the Java virtual machine, which is basically a universal machine code. So when you take a .java file written in ASCII text as Java, that is compiled to a .class file, which is this universal machine code, which is then downloaded, and then it runs on any client. So the reason we have universal machine code is to make it universal. You can then run Java on any system that has built into it a Java interpreter, which takes this universal machine code and converts it to the native machine code for that computer. So now there's some nifty technology which comes from the computer science community and studying interpreters called a just-in-time compiler. So I'm not a great expert in that area. My belief is that what a just-in-time compiler does is the following. It notices, I mean, we have two choices. Here we have Limpack. Remember, Limpack is a loop. So it's originally in this universal machine code. We could, every time we went through the loop, interpret this universal machine code, make the real machine code, and then execute it. Alternatively, we could interpret the machine code the first time we go through the loop, stick it away somewhere in a cache, and then reuse the native machine code the next time through the loop. So that's what roughly, I believe, what a just-in-time compiler is. It does compilation on the fly, and it reuses that compilation. So using a just-in-time compiler on Limpack gives you something like a factor of 10 to 20 performance increase. So a huge increase. You'd expect Limpack or any iterative application to gain the most from this technology. We have an example at MPAC. Merrick has a video decoder written in Java. And the just-in-time compiler from Microsoft, which is by far the best just-in-time compiler, is only four times slower than the original C code. So that's quite impressive. So this is still interpreted, it's still Java, and yet it's only off a factor of four from the original excellent C code, isn't that right? But it's almost certainly iterative. So again, it's iterative. All right. So, however, there is no reason why you cannot view Java as an ordinary language. You do not have to produce universal machine code and interpret it. You can produce real machine code. So there's a perfectly reasonable concept called a native Java compiler, which takes your favorite machine, it takes .java files, and produces .optimized machine code files, and just runs them. And now you have, of course, a disadvantage. It's not universal, because it's the compiler for your current machine. But that's true of Fortran or C++ or C. Obviously, you tend to have a compiler for each machine. So Java has the advantage that it can be used in two ways. Well, yes, the semi, what you would call semi-interpreted. This first way, the universal machine code is not fully interpreted because you have to run it in two stages. You go from .java to .class, .class to optimize, to non-optimized machine code, and you also have to do that interpretation in real time. So that's the semi-interpreted mode, which, as we seem to be finding, is going to end up at the moment about possibly five times slower on iterative codes than the best compilers. But when I say that we're going to use Java to do scientific computing, we're going to use the bottom route. We're going to use native compilers for Java, and or we're going to use Java front ends to manipulate existing Fortran and C codes, which are going to run as highly optimized standard libraries. So either use Java to, and that's in the near term, clearly going to be the method of choice. So that I call the Java wrapper approach. You build Java, you notice that most of your work as a scientific programmer is doing I/O and screwing around and stuff like that. Use Java to do that because Java's better at that, and you use your existing C and Fortran to run the so-called native classes.
Another approach would be to put a Java chip, give a Java chip maybe with Java bytecode and stick into each computer.
Yes, you could do. But that doesn't seem to me to make a lot of sense. The whole purpose of the universal bytecode is to make it universal, not to be able to make a fortune for Sun, so that they would be you would be forced to use that the machine that had that machine code. So, I guess if you want to build a if you want to run Java on your toaster or your set-top box where everything's at a premium, that may be a very good idea. But, and I'm not saying there isn't a huge market for that, but I believe this combination, there is no reason why you can't build excellent Java compilers. Java is a perfectly reasonable language. It has no point, it is actually easier than C++ to build good compilers for. I guess, all of this is going to happen. So one of the advantages of Java is its richness. It has managed to do reasonably well in a lot of areas. Whereas other languages, say such as Fortran, are wonderful because of its language. It's very easy to produce highly optimized code for important scientific applications in Fortran, and so it has a particular feature. Java isn't any better than Fortran there, and probably maybe a little worse, but Java does excellently in a whole set of areas, which is why I think it's an excellent language. Next file. Let's scoot down this one.